on the carry. Watch out. Justin Fields. Hello, Columbus. 51 yards.
From the 40. Fields rolls out and looks to throw. And they fooled him. And Benjamin Victor's wide open. Makes a move. Gets the sideline. Dives. No single touchdown.
Downs and intercepted. David Arnett. Watch out. David Arnett breaks across the field. David Arnett still on the move. David Arnett staying in school. Chris Carter said you weren't ready. Well, hey, Hall of Famer, I'm getting ready. 97 yards for a touchdown.
How about chugging off, going for the end zone. And it's caught by Wilson. A 50-50 ball, and the freshman who's having a great game is able to reel it in.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone. Oh, what a catch! Jeremy Rucker, give me that! At the 10, Cole steps up, runs it, and Cole, he got drilled. Wow. Josh Proctor.
Clifford. Trouble sacked again. Guess who, folks? The mighty Chase Young sets a single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2007.
Dobbins trying to get outside. Cuts it inside. Touchdown. JK all day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with my buddy Big Cass. It's been a couple weeks, probably like 2 weeks since we've recorded. We've been a little busy, but first things first, I guess we got to say, free Zach Smith. You know, former assistant wide receivers coach of Ohio State is in jail for the next 20 days. What are your thoughts on this, Cass?
His mugshot says it all. Hashtag not me, or whatever it said.
He wore, yeah, it was a hashtag not me shirt.
Yeah. It's the most ridiculous thing I've seen. Because when the first trial set up, the Delaware whatever was all pro Zach Smith. He goes back to his hearing in December, and all of a sudden, it's all pro Courtney Smith. So the dude gets $180 days in jail, which 160 of it gets, you know, wiped clean. $875 fine.
$750.
Fine. 40 hours of community service, 3 years probation for alcohol and drugs monitoring, and he has to go to anger management class. Okay. Fine and dandy, okay? But you hit him hard with all that stuff, and then you give him 20 days in jail. I mean, I get it. I mean, a lot of this Me Too movement bull crap and all that. But what really chaps my ass, excuse my language, but chaps my ass is ESPN, you. ESPN. I go on every podcast. I go on every media outlet, whether it's Fox, CBS, ESPN, the local stuff. I click on Ohio State Buckeyes, and the very first thing that pops up on Ohio State Buckeyes team page is the Zach Smith thing. I get it. Adam Rittenberg did his job 3 hours ago, blah, blah, blah. But there's things that are missing. 11 players got invited to the NFL Combine. We had a national, for the second year straight, a National Recruiter of the Year. And then it's all XFL stuff and Zach Smith on the homepage.
It's
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I honestly feel bad for the guy because I think he's really kind of turned his life around. If you checked out, you know, Menace to Sports, it's a really good podcast, way better than this show we got going on right now. But I just really feel bad for the guy just because. I really think the court of public opinion really did him in. basically how the media, you know, since the whole Urban Meyer scandal has kind of, you know, really tarnished his name and everything. And I want to read something interesting posted by Jeff Snook. And here is what Jeff Snook wrote on his Facebook page. Basically, Jeff Snook wrote that Courtney Smith's mom, Tina Carano, posted this following thing on Facebook. Here is the quote. "Every time we start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and things are going to be done, she starts something else. It's unbelievable. She's miserable with herself and her relationships that she is in and can't move forward. It's so obvious. She's the most lying. She is the most lying human I've ever seen. Hashtag me too, whatever. He's the victim in this whole situation." She wrote a letter to the judge saying she fears for her life every day because of him and that he's going to come after her. He doesn't care. He has moved on, and she just doesn't get it. She's engaged to be married. Why can't she move on? She is totally crazy. She is just a miserable human being, and she cannot let it go. And then after, you know, the mother of Courtney Smith posted this, the judge reduced Zach Smith's sentence from 180 days to 20 days. So I think it's just a little ridiculous that once again, you know, Zach Smith was made out to be, you know, the villain. He has moved on, you know, he's moved on to Menace to Sports, and what he got in trouble for was seeing his kids, which is, you know, I don't think 180 days in jail is worth for seeing your kids is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's almost like the plot to the Santa Claus when, Scott Calvin gets in trouble for seeing his kid. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing. So I honestly feel bad for Zach Smith. I'm not saying, you know, you got to love the guy or whatever, but and I'm not saying he was, you know, the greatest wide receiver coach, but it's just unfortunate in my opinion.
I agree, Dan. And the thing is, it's like a real life Steve Wilkos episode. I feel like Steve Wilkos should have been on this, and he would have finger pointed out that Courtney is probably the biggest scumbag in this whole situation because she's no longer getting money out of this because Zach Smith ain't making much money. He spends most of his money, all the whatever he gets, into his podcast, which is fantastic. He's got so many former players and so many Buckeye fans, including ourselves, that love his podcast because it's 100% in the eyes of a college football coach. If you want great content on college football and what is like behind the scenes, Menace to Sports is the best podcast out there to know what goes through coaches' minds during on and off the field, during season and off season. I think it's all money situation because Brett McMurphy didn't come out with the story until after Urban fired him. I think if Urban didn't fire him, Zach Smith's still at Ohio State, and you hear nothing about this.
I think Urban's still at Ohio State, but then Justin Fields might not be at Ohio State and some other guys. So it all kind of worked out in the long run, except for Zach Smith, who has to spend the next 20 days in jail.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing. I get the community service and the anger management, because obviously he did have some anger issues. I get it. I get that. You get in the $750 fine, but don't send the guy to jail. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and it sucks because. But at least we can say now this is done. It is over with. We don't have to hear about the Zach Smith scandal anymore. There's bigger fish to fry.
You know what scandal I want to hear about? Great segue. No, not even Michigan. Well, that's another story with Mark D'Antonio resigning a few days after he got his bonus. That's going to open itself up in probably a few weeks. I want to hear about Michigan's starting guard, Xavier Simpson, crashing the athletic director's wife's car and then giving a false name to the cops.
Yeah. There's a lot going on, and right now Ohio State is the least of the worries. And they for them to just keep continuing to throw Ohio State's name out, they had to throw Coach Smith. So we got the state up north has had a bad week this week. Let's start with Xavier Simpson. And this, you know, the day after they got in, it seemed like a street fight basketball game with Ohio State and lost. This report came out about Xavier Simpson We'll get more into that game later. But Xavier Simpson, what an idiot.
I mean, pure bonehead. And then they were saying he was walking back to the car, stumbling. Apparently, he passed a sobriety test. I don't think the cops even tested him, actually, because they said he didn't smell. But if you look at the timeline, it was like, I believe it was like 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning. It was a weekend. 3 a.m. on a weekend night. So you do the math. What any college kid does at that time.
I don't really know if there's any really bars up there up in Michigan. But again, like, special treatment, you know, if I'm the NCAA, I'd look into this.
I mean, I definitely would. I mean, and then on the contrary, it's just ridiculous because you have, you know, a Michigan guard who, you know, has a pretty big, like a pretty, you know, egregious offense, let's say. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's definitely not good. Meanwhile, you go down to the South and look at Chris Holtmann. Chris Holtmann has character, his program. Chris Holtmann wants his players to learn to be more. Look what he did with Luther Muhammad and Dwayne Washington. Suspended both of them for one game.
Look what he did with Caleb Weston last year.
Yeah. So I just know for a fact that wouldn't fly with Holtmann because Holtmann, you know, holds his program to a higher standard. But man, Juwan Howard, I don't know. I mean, you just shame on Michigan for only suspending Xavier Simpson one game.
Ridiculous, and there's a lot going on in the state up north. I mean, because you not only that, you have Michigan, University of Michigan, also nearing a 3 or 4 year extension with Jim Harbaugh.
I saw the greatest article on 11 Warriors today, written by, I believe, is Ramsey, where basically he compares Jim Harbaugh to the Concord of the Big Ten. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with the Concord, it was basically one of the most overpriced, useless aircrafts in the history of aviation. And that is literally what Jim Harbaugh is to college football. Overhyped, overpriced, not effective at all. It is the greatest comparison I've ever seen. I highly recommend, if you have time, sit down and read this 11 Warriors article. It was actually by Johnny Ginter. Yeah, read this 11 Warriors article. Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are riding a Concord right into the sun, it's called. It is fantastic.
Yeah, and speaking of coaches, I agree with that statement. I agree with everything. But switching gears to the other team in the state of North, Mark D'Antonio retiring after he receives his bonus and a day before National Signing Day. The timing's weird, but also Monday there was a report that came out that things could be coming down with Michigan State. I didn't really get much into it. I just know that our buddy with Big Sports Bulletin, Aaron Pearson, told me about that. And I didn't really get in depth to try to look it up. But apparently a report came out about D'Antonio and his program. He retires. Now, in a bad timing, obviously people are saying Luke Fickell is the guy they're going after. I think Pat Narduzzi, is that his name, from Pitt?
He's not leaving, though. He posted he's staying at Pitt.
He was the one lead guy. The only one that's still up in the air, really hasn't said anything, is Fickell. But three coaches now have came out and has declined the job. Matt Campbell at Iowa State and 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Sala declines the interview for Michigan State. So you have coaches declining to become head coach at a, you know, pretty decent program in Michigan State the past 2 years. You know, will Luke Fickell take the jump? I don't know. I'm comparing the recruiting classes. Luke Fickell finished 39th in recruiting this year at Cincinnati. Michigan State finished 46th. So If I'm Fickell, I stay at Cincinnati. Mike Tressel, Jim Tressel, I think it's nephew, I believe, is the interim head coach right now. So I feel like Tressel will be the head coach this year until they find their guy. They can't hire anybody right now. It'd be too hard, I think, in my opinion. I mean,
there's really no names that jump to my mind. I mean, maybe one that could make sense. I'm thinking way outside the box here. He just got let go at Mississippi State, but Joe Moorhead, perhaps. I think that could be a decent fit. Just because he has ties with the Big Ten when he was at Penn State, knows the conference pretty well, has experience. That is literally the only name I could think of outside the box that maybe they would have a shot at. I don't even know if Moorhead would want the job because they're a mess. Michigan State's in shambles.
Yeah, I think that's a year or two. That's why I say they roll with Tressel this year and then see what they can get out of next year. And possibly, you know, bring in a head coach, you know, not in January, but bring him in, you know, late November, early December.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's good for the Buckeyes, at least this year. It is concerning to see who they get in future years. Maybe they are able to get a great coach and, you know, Michigan State is able to rise back to prominence. But most likely, that program is going to be in shambles for probably the foreseeable future until they get their guy. I mean, the recruiting class they have right now, not great. The athletes they have on their roster, not great.
When Cincinnati is out recruiting you, and this is no knock on Luke Fickell or Cincinnati, but Michigan State should never be out recruited by Cincinnati.
No.
Never.
I mean, I generally think too the way this is going, the way it's trending. I think Rutgers. This is my way too early take of this year, but Rutgers I think could have actually a better season than Michigan State this year.
I will go with Maryland and Indiana having a better record than Rutgers.
I don't know. We'll see. But speaking of, I guess, Rutgers, this isn't the Rutgers podcast, but Ohio State will face them this Wednesday at the shop. But before that, they do face Wisconsin this Sunday, 1 p.m. But before we get into the previews of the games coming up this week, we got to talk about a couple games that we missed since our last podcast. So, I mean, let's take it from the top. I mean, Ohio State on that skid, that four-game losing skid, go to Northwestern, get a big win, 71-59. And really, it was DJ Carton's, you know, he had a great performance. And obviously since then, Carton's, you know, dealing with some stuff. But he played great that game. And, you know, it's a bummer to see that, you know, he's going to be out, but he's got to get, you know, his health corrected.
Yeah. I wish nothing but the best for him, and I really hope he's doing well and get back on the course soon. You know, I'd love to see him for the NCAA tournament, but if not, I'd like to see him come back next year, and wish him nothing but the best. But, yeah, it was a good win, good road win, get their confidence level up, and then a huge, even bigger win in the shot against Indiana.
Yeah, and I was actually there, and it was a fun one. I mean, I'll give Indiana fans this: they packed the place. It was rocking. It was a Saturday noon tip, and it felt like a full house. It was loud. It was a real fun one though. And I mean, Caleb Wesson was playing great. I mean, the whole team played great. The only gripe I really had is we missed the free fries by a basket at the end. But other than that, I thought, you know, it was a real, real good win, made up for what we did there in Bloomington a few weeks ago. And it just feels good to get a win like that over a really solid Indiana team this year, who is definitely going to be, it looks like, a tournament team.
Yeah, it was very nice to have, you know, see the Buckeyes win and great win. You got a little revenge on Indiana. It was fun to watch because Ohio State dominated the whole game, and it was great to see them dominate a whole game and then hold their best score to single digits, and that's what we wanted. And
Justin Ahrens too. I completely forgot to mention this. Justin Ahrens, that game, a fire's lit underneath him or something, because since that Indiana game, he's been hitting his shots. I mean, I think he had 11 points against Indiana, but he was, I think, 3 for 3 from three. I mean, he wasn't missing from beyond the arc. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and he's a guy that you need to have come off the bench and score anywhere between 7 to 15 points a game. That's a guy with DJ Carton be out. You need, he needs to score 7 to 15 points a game for this Buckeye basketball team to win, because, you know, with some of the struggling shooters right now, but in the next game up in Ann Arbor, I mean, I was worried. I didn't think we'd win. That's how this season's been. But now I'm really, after the win in Ann Arbor, I'm really, really confident about this basketball team moving forward. Looking at their schedule, it looks very, very promising. It was a nice win, double digit win against Indiana, and then turn around and come back and play against your arch rival in their house. Like Jay Billis said, it was more hard hitting. It was more physical in the Chrysler Center than it was in the actual Big House.
It was. Do you see what happened to Kyle Young's jersey? That was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Xavier Simpson.
Yeah. Not a good week for Xavier Simpson, man. I mean, from the car accident to getting the flagrant one that essentially cost Michigan the game. Just a rough week for my guy Xavier, but really.
The Caleb Webb battle wound on his neck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's crazy what they did to Caleb Wesson. Like, it looked like he almost got his throat slashed. That was bad. And then Luther Muhammad hurt his shoulder. I mean, the whole team was banged up. I mean, a couple of days before that, Chris Holman couldn't even finish practice because everyone got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it was a gutsy performance. And in my opinion, the player of the game was not Caleb Wesson with his 23 points and his close to his double-double. Or if he had a double, he might have had a double-double. I don't have the stats in front of me. But my player of the game is Kyle Young, just because the effort he put in, and a guy who shoots in low 70s, high 60% at the free throw line, knocking those free throws in that really basically sealed the game with 30 seconds to go after the technical foul after he got brought down. That right there is player of the game for me, wearing number 50. He brought in the number 50. He normally wears 25. I think he should wear number 50 for the rest of the season, because he played half better than what he was. Hitting those two free throws.
Yeah, he was two times better. I mean, I like the number 50 on him, so I agree. And it's just kind of funny how they randomly pulled out the number 50 jersey. Like, that was the go-to backup jersey, number 50. I don't know if they have every number in existence there or what, but they just – he whipped on the 50 jersey and turned into, twice the player.
Yeah, he turned David Robinson, hit the clutch free throws and made a good stop at the end. I mean, he was clutch. I think the appendectomy took a lot of toll out of him. I think he's finally healthy, 100% healthy now.
Yeah, he's looking healthy. And I will say, I'll give a lot of credit to Caleb Wesson. You know, really avoided foul trouble, which in a game like that, I'm happy they called it kind of like the way they did. Because that's gonna play into Ohio State's hands. I mean, we have – Ohio State arguably has one of the most dominant forces in college basketball. And if you're going to get physical with us, so be it. We'll gladly, fight you all day in the paint. But with Caleb Wesson, I think he had no turnovers, stayed out of foul trouble, scored about half Ohio State's points, shot 3 for 6 from three, and – probably the best play of the game, in my opinion. Obviously, you're saying Kyle Young, but I think the best play of the game was when Caleb Wesson caught the ball down low, was trying to make some moves in the paint, kicked it out to Dwayne Washington in near, you know, the last minute or so, and he hit a big three to put us up. I think that was the most important play of the game.
I thought the player of the game was Kyle Young, but that was the play of the game. I think that play, like, because Michigan had just taken the lead, and I was like, oh, crap. Okay, now it's over. Michigan's going to start a run. And then freaking Dwayne Washington just hits a monster of a three-pointer. And I right then and there, I was like, okay, I said, going to gut this one out. I thought if Dwayne Washington does not make that shot after Michigan takes the lead, I don't think Ohio State wins that game. And kudos to Dwayne Caleb Weston and Dwayne Washington, knowing where Dwayne Washington was going to be and hitting that open shot.
My last point about this game is, though, they cannot allow Michigan to get that good of a look. If that's another team, especially if it's in March or April against a high, like a way better three-point shooting team, that might go in.
I agree. But you know what? I give kudos to Chris Holtman and knowing the scouting report. They had been struggling all night, and I think that's why they left it open. Ohio State's defense has kept them in a lot of games this year. So, currently in the standings, Ohio State, they're looking at number 11. They would be 11 seed. Obviously, they play Wisconsin, but there's a big group of people: Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio State, right there in that 6-6, 5-6 mark. The fact that Ohio State's only three games back of first place is insane in the Big Ten.
It's been absolute chaos this year in the Big Ten. It really has been. At one point, Rutgers was in second place, so that's all you need to know about that.
I mean, I pointed this out to you the other day. We had at Wisconsin Sunday. Tuesday or Wednesday, we got home against Rutgers, home against Purdue, at Iowa. I mean, obviously, we got home against Maryland and Nebraska after that. But these next four games are crucial because all four of these teams are in that pack where we're at. If we could come out 3-1 or even 4-0 in this, which would be awesome. But this is very capable of us going 3-1. The only one that really concerns me is at Iowa. I mean, tomorrow Sunday concerns me because it's at the Kohl Center. Are we healthy? Can we go up there and get a win? I think we can. As long as Caleb Weston just keeps playing physical basketball on the offensive end. He's got to tighten up his defense a little bit. But CJ Walker's playing good defense, too, just moved his feet. Can they create some steals, get a win at Wisconsin, a little revenge game? I think they can on Sunday. I think they can beat Rutgers at home. I think they can beat Purdue at Iowa because Fran McCaffrey is a butthole. I hate Iowa. I hate playing at Iowa, but it's a 7 o'clock tip off on February 20th. That one concerns me, knowing that we got number 9 Maryland in 3 days after that.
Realistically, the way I'm looking at this, I think a safe prediction. I think we'll win 6 more games in the Big Ten before the tournament. Before the Big Ten tournament, I want to clarify. I think we'll beat Wisconsin, Rutgers, and Purdue. I think we'll drop to Iowa and Maryland, beat Nebraska, Michigan, Illinois, and then lose to Michigan State. That's how I see this playing out.
I honestly think we'll lose to Illinois or Iowa. One of those two teams. If we win at Iowa, I think we'll lose to Illinois. I don't think we lose to Illinois at all. That's senior day. My bad. We ain't losing senior day on Andre Weston's last game.
I'm not sold on Illinois. I think they're overhyped.
Yeah, I think Michigan State wins. I think Michigan State beats us. I almost see 7 wins. It depends on February 20th. And you know, if Ohio State can beat Iowa, if they beat Iowa, that's 7 wins, in my opinion.
The only team I know we're not going to be on this is Maryland. Because I feel like every time we lose to Maryland, like, they are our kryptonite when it comes to sports, when it comes to, like, basketball. They always beat us. And they always beat us by like 20, and we always miss like 33 pointers. Like, it's always the most frustrating game. I don't think Illinois is that good, though. I mean,
in my opinion, I think Maryland is the best team in the Big Ten.
I don't think they're the best team in the Big Ten. I think Michigan State is. I just think Maryland always matches up well against us for some reason. It's just like the style they play. They're just better at shooting always. That's literally what it comes down to.
What about Penn State? What do you think? Penn State's only game back, and they – but Penn State, I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I hate to bring Penn State up in this. I know they just got to win against Michigan State. They play Minnesota this week. They should win that. I think they drop one at Purdue because Purdue is a very, very tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I think they beat Northwestern. I think they'll beat Illinois. I think they lose in Bloomington. I think they beat Rutgers, and I think they lose. I think they lose at Iowa, and I think they lose. I think they lose at home against Michigan State.
Yeah, but Penn State, I think, has passed the eye test, and I think they had a pretty solid non-conference schedule and everything. And that win against Michigan State's real good on that resume. Right now, they're projected a fifth seed, is what I'm seeing. They're actually projected higher than Ohio State.
Obviously, I see them dropping at Iowa. I think they drop at home against Michigan State, and I think they drop at Indiana, and I think they drop at Purdue. I think they lose four games in this stretch, and that's just my opinion. I mean, they're good, but I don't know.
I mean, hey, the Penn State is on a five-game winning streak.
Yeah, streaks do come to an end.
They do. I mean, they're on a five-game win streak, and they have wins over They have wins over Georgetown.
Georgetown stinks.
They do, but Georgetown, Syracuse, Maryland, Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana. Penn State is really good.
Syracuse, Ohio State's got wins over North Carolina, Villanova, Michigan,
Kentucky.
Oh, by the way, Kentucky. By the way, Maryland's up 11, is up by 9 with 15 seconds to go against Illinois.
I mean, I just think Penn State has a really solid team this year, and I think they're going to go far in the tournament too. I think what they've built there in Happy Valley is a real solid program, and it's really good seeing Penn State being good because I enjoy playing them in basketball. They're a fun rivalry, in my opinion.
I hate them because 2017.
Yeah. I mean, damn Tony Carr.
That game. I'll never forget that game. But anyways, I think good stretch of basketball coming on here. But like we said, we can't end a podcast without talking about football. But in other sports this week, Ohio State women's basketball won last night 78-58 against Illinois at Illinois. Ohio State dropped to Minnesota Duluth tonight in overtime 5-4 in women's hockey. And Ohio State lost, I think, 5-3 in softball in their opener against South Carolina, which is 19th-ranked South Carolina. So, pretty decent week for Buckeyes. And then, of course, I don't have the wrestling results right now, but that is Ohio State. But we cannot end the podcast without talking about Ohio State football because that is the lifeblood of this podcast. And it's going to be a pretty good, solid week for Ohio State this week. We locked in Cameron Martinez, the All-Michigan Player of the Year. And not bad for Ryan Day. This year he locked in the All-Penn State Player of the Year, the All-Ohio State Player of the Year, and the All-Michigan State Player of the Year. So how about that for Ryan Day?
Yeah, I mean, great first year for Ryan Day. And I'm glad Martinez, signed his letter of intent and everything. I think he was smart, kind of waiting out, making sure Kerry Combs was coming to OSU. He did his due diligence, Martinez, and that's perfectly fine. He has every right. But then they're saying, too, that they might play him a little bit on offense, too. He's going to be seeing both sides of the ball, which is really cool. And it's kind of funny that they're going to be kind of using him like Jabril Peppers. The guy from Michigan is going to be used like the former Michigan Wolverine.
I kind of like Cameron, what they're going to use Cameron Martinez for. I can't wait. I think by explosion and athlete-wise, he probably is probably the best athlete on the in this class. Can't wait to see him. I just sent you a hilarious meme. I can't wait to show you, by the way, until you see it. But I'm excited for Cameron. I'm excited for everybody in this class. A lot of them are getting to work right now. You posted on our Twitter page the other day about what Mickey Marotti has done in the first couple weeks with Jack Miller and all these guys. Man, Jack Miller looked like he could play linebacker in the MAC.
Oh, Jack Miller looks like Tebow 2.0. I mean, he's getting huge. And speaking of Mickey Marotti, next Friday is the big time. It's the St. Valentine's Day Massacre workout for the Buckeyes. I mean, they're going to be getting up early. I think it's like 4 a.m. and they're there for 2-3 hours just doing a crazy insane workout where basically you can't leave until you pass. It's going to be absolutely nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait to see the pictures. By the way, did you see Justin Fields' hair? He's got like braids now in his hair. Like, it looks pretty good. It doesn't look like ridiculous when he takes off his helmet. I know a lot of people were kind of made fun of, including myself, Justin Fields, when every time he took his helmet off, his hair just flattened out. He looks pretty sharp with those braids. You see that?
He does. Speaking of Ohio State quarterbacks, Cass, I guess that's your hint. You will not – I completely forgot to mention this to you because I'm still, like, in shock. You will not believe who I met this past Friday.
What did you mean?
Just casually, I was coming out of dinner at Urban's Pine House with my girlfriend, and you will casually just walking back to the car. You will not believe who I saw on the street alone in Columbus.
James what? Barry.
No.
Braxton Miller.
No.
Cardale Jones.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I did. On my life, I saw him. He was getting food from the worst food truck in Bridge Park, the gyro truck. I do not recommend it. Some people love it. I don't. I'm a gyro snob. Nice guy who runs it, though. Like, really nice guy. Not trying to slander your truck. I just don't like the gyros, the style you make. But Cardale bought, like, four of them. And I turned to my girlfriend. I'm like, I think that's Cardale Jones. And meanwhile, it was dead. It was really, like, quiet. It was a nice, quiet Friday night. I'm like, that's Cardale Jones. And she's like, yeah. She's like, she confirmed with me. And he's walking back past us, and I go, hey, Cardale, good luck against Seattle this weekend. And he gave me a fist pump and walked. I think he was going back to the hotel over there. But I fist pumped Cardale Jones this weekend. Life-changing moment. And I think I'm going to be a DC Defenders fan now.
I told you, man. I told you a couple weeks because you were still on the fence. Are you going to root for it? I've been all about DC Defenders. And speaking of quarterback rooms, I sent you a picture, and I said, I want to see a 30 for 30 or just a documentary on this quarterback room from this year. I think it was, 2015? Had to be.
Mm-hmm.
J.C. Barrett, Cardale Jones, Braxton Miller, Torrence Gibson, Joe Burrow, and Stephen Collier. Wow.
Incredible.
In my opinion, athletic-wise, skill set-wise, you couldn't tell me that Torrence Gibson coming out of high school was going to be better than all five of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be the savior.
Until he got involved with a tutor,
mm-hmm.
Which if you want to know more about that, go look it up yourself. I don't feel like talking about it.
Zach, Zach, perfect backtrack. Zach Smith's podcast has a really good episode about it. Check that out.
Oh, okay. But there's only one high. There's two, three national championship quarterbacks in that picture. and one Heisman Trophy winner. So, I mean.
Well, yeah, there is. Yeah, you're right. As we kind of finish up here, Cass, I have an idea. I don't know if you want to do it, but, you know, every week we kind of finish with some pick-ems. Football season is over. Just kidding. XFL starts tomorrow. Let's do our XFL pick-ems in honor of Cardale Jones giving me a fist bump.
Okay. XFL pick-ems.
I have them right here. Game one. The man, the myth, the legend. Cardale Jones goes to take on the Seattle Dragons. DC Defenders or Seattle Dragons? Who you got?
DC, man.
Absolutely. We're a DC Defenders podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to. There's a lot of notable Big Ten quarterbacks in this league. Connor Cook, Cardale Jones, Matt McGloin.
Yeah.
Landry Jones. But, anyways, obviously, we both are going to pick DC. And then the second game at 5 o'clock on Fox, Los Angeles at Houston. Give me Houston.
I gotta look at the roster real quick of LA.
I'll look at Houston.
It's tough. I feel like this is literally the San Diego Fleet's roster.
I'm going to look up XFL rosters. We didn't prepare ourselves on this.
No, we kind of wanted. Oh, okay. Houston has Connor Cook, but they have Sammy Coates. But Los Angeles has Josh Johnson. Give me Houston.
Okay.
I like Houston because they got Sammy Coates. He's probably the best receiver in the XFL.
I'll go with Los Angeles. We got to have something different.
Got New York Guardians versus the Tampa Bay Vipers on Sunday at 2 p.m. And I like how they did this, by the way, the schedule. You get two games Saturday, two games Sunday. They're back-to-back. I love how they did that.
Yeah, different channels. I wish it was on the same channel because but
they're on good channels though. They're on ABC, Fox, ESPN. They're on like the main channels. You know, it's not like you know CBS Sports or something weird or like True TV. They're on big channels. New York Guardians versus Tampa Bay. Matt McGloin should be starting for the New York Guardians. They really don't have anyone else, though. Kevin Gilbride's the New York Guardians coach, which is interesting.
Give me Tampa.
I'm going with the Guardians, arch rivals of the DC Defenders, so hopefully the Guardians are a good team. As we finish it off, St. Louis Battlehawks versus the Dallas Renegades. I just got to say this. Yeah, Renegades all day. Battlehawks are actually a 10.5-point underdog, and I don't think they even have, like, a quarterback named. They're not good. They might not win a game.
Yeah, and Landry Jones plays for Dallas.
Yeah, Landry.
And he may be the best. He may end up being the best professional quarterback in Dallas.
You're right. You might be right, actually. He's worth every. I think he might be getting paid more than Dak.
He might. If Dallas Renegades ends up playing for the XFL championship and winning it, you could see a Tommy Maddox thing from the last time in the XFL, and see Landry Jones get like a $100 million contract, and the Cowboys not decide to sign Dak, and they're going to sign Landry Jones.
The real goal here is Cardale Jones goes off. Bengals sign Cardale Jones. They draft Chase Young. You're thrilled.
I would be thrilled, but we're going to get Joe Burrow. They're hands down. We're going to get Joe Burrow. But But yeah, I think we only picked one different, and that was no, two different. I picked Tampa, and you picked New York, and I picked LA, and you picked Houston. So yeah, go DC Defenders!
Absolutely, defend the DC.
Maybe Trump should show up for tomorrow's game.
That would be something. But I guess this does it for another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. It is good to be back, folks. We apologize for the two-week hiatus, but we will be back recording weekly like always. Go Bucks, and let's stay nutty.